before we turn to the sermon, I want to take just a moment to express my deep gratitude and love to you, the members of Faith Church. Now, serving as one of your pastors these past 4 years has been a tremendous privilege, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to serve alongside you. Now, since the moment that we have arrived, you have encouraged my family, you have loved us, you have strengthened us in the faith. And while we are excited about the work that the Lord is calling us to in Colorado, we know that following him there means parting with a church that has grown very near and dear to us. As I've reflected on what it means for us to say goodbye to faith, I'm reminded that the Christian life is a series of comings and goings. We belong to God, and he moves his people around as he sees fit, all for his glory and our good. This is a lesson that we have been learning a lot recently at Faith Church. Now, the words of Basil Manley Jr., his hymn, Soldiers of Truth in Christ Arrayed, have been on repeat in my mind lately. We meet to part, but part to meet, when earthly labors are complete, to join in yet more blessed employ in an eternal world of joy. And we meet to part, but part to meet. For now, we prepare to part, but we part to meet again soon in a land where congregations never break up and Sabbaths have no end. I'm looking forward to that day. And Faith Church, thank you for loving us so well. Thank you for helping us grow in our love for Jesus during our days here. Thank you for caring so well for Stacy and for our kids and for demonstrating the love of Christ to us in so many tangible ways. Please do pray for us as we prepare to make our move in the coming days, and as we prepare to knit our hearts in love to a new people that the Lord is leading us to. Know how much we love you, how much we're going to miss you. We meet to part, but part to meet. Let's pray. Don't clap. All right. Let's pray. We've got work to do. Lord, you've got work to do. We ask that again, once again, this Sunday morning, you would do work through the power of your word as it goes forth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Make much of Christ, make little of me. In Christ's name, amen. Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody, help! You know I need someone. Won't you please, please help me? And so go the words to the Beatles' hit single, Help. It's a bright, upbeat, fast-paced tune. But the story behind the song is not as happy as it sounds. In an interview after it was released, John Lennon and Paul McCartney both confessed that the song was a cry for help born out of a time of insecurity and deep depression and fear amid the dizzying heights of Beatlemania. They felt overwhelmed and they needed a good friend to help them get their feet back on the ground, as the song goes. Now, we all know the feeling, don't we? We all need help navigating the ups and downs of life. But from where will our help come? Where do you go for help? If you got a Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, you can find it on page 545 of that black chair Bible in front of you. Psalm 121 it's a brief but beautiful psalm written to encourage weary pilgrims as they face the many dangers and uncertainties that threaten to undo us on the journey of life. If you are feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling anxious, hopeless, in need of a little help this morning, Psalm 121 is just for you. Here's what it says. A song of ascents. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going both now and forever. And here's what I think is the main idea of this psalm. The main thing that God, in his word, wants to get across to us today, the main thing God wants us to take away as a church. Steady on, Faith Church. God's got you every step of the way. Steady on, Faith Church. God's got you every step of the way. If I was going to boil that down even more for you, give you the main idea in three words, it would be this: God's got you. God has got you. God protects us every step of the way on our journey home to heaven. That is what Psalm 121 is trying to get across to us. God's got you. And it does that in two ways. First, by showing us where our help comes from. That's verses 1-2. And then by showing us how God helps us. He helps us by protecting us. That's verses 3-8. So 2 points this morning. Point number one, your all-powerful help. Your all-powerful help. The psalm's superscript tells us that this was a song of ascents, which marks the psalm off as a song of pilgrimage. The psalm has to do with a journey. God had instructed Israel to hold a festival for him 3 times a year in Jerusalem. So 3 times a year, the Israelites would have to travel to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate these festivals. And these journeys to Jerusalem were no walk in the park. They were dangerous. Pilgrims had to contend with the heat of the scorching sun during the day and the cold at night. They had to walk narrow trails along steep cliffs. They could encounter wild animals and robbers along the way. Danger was lurking around every corner. And this psalm was written to instill confidence in God's people that they were not alone on this journey. Help was available to them. This is why the psalmist starts the psalm the way he does there in verse 1. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? It's not initially clear if he is lifting his eyes to the mountains because he's fearful or because he's hopeful. But either way, he knows he needs some help for the journey ahead. But not just any kind of help will do. This pilgrim needs a particular kind of help. I need protection. I need strength. I need help I can depend on. Where will I find these things? Well, he answers his own question in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here, the psalmist sings to his own heart to remind it that his best hope, his greatest help, is in the Lord. Lord is the name of Israel's faithful, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. The Lord was the God who led Abram out of the land of Ur and into the promised land. The Lord was the one who kept Jacob safe in his many journeys. The Lord, the great I Am, was the God who brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt, who parted the waters of the Red Sea, who fed his people manna in the wilderness, who provided water from the rock, and who led them safely back into the promised land. The Lord provided a living help, a committed help, a no-going-back kind of help. He was help you could count on, a help that would follow through in times of trouble, a help that weary pilgrims could lean on when faced with uncertainty. And the pilgrim of Psalm 121, he expands on God's name by identifying the Lord as the maker of heaven and earth. Now, this was a major statement of faith in the psalmist's day. Ancient cultures surrounding Israel believed that there were many gods who controlled a different part of the created order. There was a god of the sea. There was a different God of the desert, a different God of the mountains, a different God of the rivers, and so on. And as the Israelites made their journey, they would have to traverse all these various kinds of terrain. Which God would protect them? Well, this pilgrim looks not to the puny pretend gods that others looked to. No, this pilgrim looks to the God of the universe, the one who made heaven and earth and everything in between. He looks to the one who holds the whole world in his hands. That's where his help comes from. That's where his help comes from. You know, our eyes are far too often lifted on the wrong things. We give our attention, our energy, our hearts over to our anxieties, our worries, our fears, the things on earth that concern us. Whether these things are real or perceived, known or unknown, these fears are what fill our line of sight. Sometimes they're all we can see. They're all we think about. They consume us. Psalm 121 is teaching us what to do when this happens. It's teaching us where to put our eyes when faced with difficulty, where to look for help in trying times. When you're faced with difficulty, when you're faced with uncertainty, when you are faced with anxiety, where does your gaze tend to go? When trouble walks through your door, where do you look for help? Do you look for help by escaping into the latest Netflix show? Do you look for help in some medication, your work, a relationship, alcohol, some pleasure, other people, money? Do you look for help by trying to gain control over the situation? Do you look for help in yourself, in your own strength? Notice where this psalmist looks. Look where he puts his eyes. He lifts his eyes toward the mountains, but his help does not come from the mountains. His help comes from the one who made the mountains and who sits enthroned upon them. Brothers and sisters, when trouble walks through our door, and I promise you it will walk through your door, we need to lift our eyes from created things and onto the uncreated one. We need to get our gaze off the ground and on to God. We need to stop looking down and start looking up. We will not find help for our journey looking down at this world. We will not find help in people or things or perfect circumstances or in a life free from trouble. No, our help comes from something so much bigger, someone so much stronger, so much better. Our help comes from the Lord, the living God who made the earth and everything in it. See, the psalmist right here is helping to put all of our problems, all of our fears, all of our anxieties, real as they may be, he is putting all of them into perspective. When God doesn't fill our line of sight, then our problems and the uncertainties of this life seem too big to handle. They become bigger than they actually are. They overwhelm us. They look daunting. They look insurmountable. They paralyze us. But when the creator of heaven and earth fills the frame, oh, those fears shrink down to their actual size. They lose their power over us. They become puny. They almost become laughable, like a little ant trying to talk trash to a lion. The dangers that we face in this life are no match for our God. A big God is on our side. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who hung the moon and the stars, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who holds the oceans in his hands. That's the one who holds you in the palm of his hand. That's who your helper is. It's where our eyes need to be. No greater God, no greater help. And if that's true, if everything that I just said about him is true, then why would we ever doubt God's ability to help us? Is it not because our gaze is low? As our eyes go, so go our hearts. If our eyes are fixed on our fears and our worries, then our hearts will be filled with doubts and questions. But when our gaze is lifted up, then our hearts will follow. God knows how easy it is for our gaze to drift away from him. He knows that this world is filled with countless dangers that will try to throw us off course. That's why he doesn't design this. He doesn't make us walk this road alone. He is with us, near to us, next to us, helping us, protecting us. But he's also made us to walk this road with one another. You know, one of the reasons the Lord has brought you into the family of Faith Church is so that you might help one another get your eyes off of your fears and worries and onto the Lord who stands above all of them. This is the job of church membership. This is how we help one another make it home to heaven. Your job, member of Faith Church, is to remind one another where our help comes from. This is what our time together on Sunday mornings, it's what it's designed to help us do. Every Sunday morning, as we fill this room, we bring any number of fears and worries with us. Questions and doubts fill our minds. They trouble our hearts. They cloud our gaze. Is there enough grace? Is there enough grace for a sinner like me? Is my marriage going to make it through this next week? Does God care about me? Has he forgotten me? Even now, right now, in this room, the person sitting next to you has brought pain and suffering, doubt and fear are in this room. And you know what the remedy is for that? You know what we all need right now? It is not to be entertained. It is not to escape our problems. It is not for me to give you some motivational pep talk. It is not to sing songs that make you feel better about yourself. No, what you and I need most right now in this moment is to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nobody else will do the trick. This is why we work so hard to fill our services with so much scripture and prayer. It's why we sing the kind of songs we sing. It's why the sermon sits at the center of the service and gets so much airtime. Not because the preacher is so important, but because the word he preaches proclaims where our help comes from. All of this is designed to help us get our eyes Godward, to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the one who made us and saved us. That's the context of this psalm. Remember, this is a psalm that the Israelites would sing going to and from the temple. And now, just like those pilgrims did, we come together every Sunday to do the same thing. Corporate worship is a lifting of our gaze. It helps us get our eyes up. We are easily distracted, lulled to sleep by our idols of comfort and self-sufficiency. We are prone to forget that Christ really is, he really is the sure and steady anchor in the fury of every storm. Just this week, I have been consumed by fears about our move to Colorado, anxious about all these unknowns about our future, wondering if God would help us. Isn't it fitting that I was preaching Psalm 121? You know what I needed? You know what I've needed this week? I I needed you to come alongside me. And I needed you to remind me where my help comes from. I needed to come to church today to hear you, to look around this room and hear you sing, "The King of Love, my shepherd is, and a mighty fortress is our God." Because this week I've been tempted to believe that he's not those things. I've needed you to help me lift my eyes off of my fears and on to the God who has got me safe and sound in the palm of his hand. I need this. You need this. We all need this. And we all need God's help to make it through this dangerous journey. And we can rest assured that he will indeed help us. If we are his, if we belong to him, if our eyes are on him, then even when our gaze grows weak and fearful, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth will help us. But how? How exactly does the Lord help us? How does he help us when trouble walks through the door? Well, he helps us by protecting us. That brings us to point number two, your ever-keeping protection. This is what we're going to see in verses 3-8. Beginning in verse 3, the psalmist identifies the Lord in a new way. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Six times in verses 3-8, the word protector or protects shows up. In the ESV, it's the word keeps. So the psalmist clearly wants us to know that the Lord can and will protect us on our dangerous journey. In fact, the center of the psalm comes in the first half of verse 5. The Lord protects you. In the ESV, the Lord is your keeper. 58 syllables precede that phrase, 58 follow it. That's the point of the psalm. That's the bullseye. We are not kept by our own strength or by our wisdom or power or control. We are kept by the Lord. It is the Lord who protects us. And notice how intensely personal all of this is. The psalmist uses 8 personal pronouns in these verses, all of them singular, specific to each individual pilgrim making the journey. So this is a deeply personal kind of protection that the Lord is providing here. It is for you. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is your personal protection if you're one of his people. But his protection isn't just for you. It's for all of his covenant people. That's what the author stresses in verse 4 when he calls the Lord the protector of Israel. If you are a part of God's people, then you've got God's protection, his presence sheltering all of us with the same level of care, the weak and the strong. And look at the quality of his protection. Verses 3-4. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The image here is of a shepherd who never sleeps. God is depicted as a vigilant shepherd who is guiding the pilgrim over dangerous mountains. The path to and from Jerusalem was a steep trail descending and ascending over rocky terrain. Every step came with the danger of slipping, twisting your ankle, busting your knees, sliding down steep cliffs. But this pilgrim has the assurance that God will not let him fall. He is walking a dangerous path, no doubt, but with the Lord as his shepherd, he is in safe hands. Now, this is a reminder to us that God will not let the feet of his people falter. When God is your protector, your feet are always on solid ground. We may at times feel like our legs are about to give out, like a toddler wobbling through their very first steps. But we can rest assured that our Heavenly Father's strong hand will steady us. God's got you. He won't let you fall. And the reason he won't let us fall is because he doesn't slumber or sleep. He doesn't get drowsy or doze off on the job. He's not the kind of shepherd who needs to take a break. He doesn't nod off or need a nap. He is never exhausted by the constant supervision we require. He doesn't put in a vacation request or need to recharge his batteries. He doesn't have a bedtime. He doesn't need a cup of coffee or an energy drink to keep him going. No, our God is always alert, always awake. Our God is both watchful and wakeful. His eyes are always open and always on his people. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives that make us wonder where God is. You know, we face some trial or setback in our lives. We're involved in an accident. We get sick. We lose a loved one. And we wonder if God is really there. If he's actually aware of what's going on, or if he's fallen asleep at the wheel. You know, Israel had that same experience too. But Psalm 121 assures us that our God never slumbers or sleeps, which means that you do not have to lose a wink of sleep when the one who never sleeps is watching over you. No matter what's going on in your life, you can go to bed every night in peace because God never does. We may not know why bad things happen to us, but we can rest easy knowing that the Lord is not surprised or caught off guard by those things, because the Lord, the good shepherd, is always keeping watch over his flock. But God's protection, it doesn't stop there. It goes even further. Look at verses 5-6. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. Here the image shifts from a watchful shepherd to an impenetrable shelter. The Lord is pictured as our own personal bodyguard who shields us from every danger. When the psalmist says that God is a shelter right by your side, it's his way of saying God's got your back. He's watching your six. You know, the road to Jerusalem was not only rough and rocky terrain, but it was also completely exposed to the elements. Pilgrims would have to travel under the blistering rays of the sun. Shade was scarce, and too much sun exposure could kill you. But night was no better. It offered no protection. In those days, people thought the moon's rays were actually just as dangerous as the sun's. They believed that the terrors of the night could drive a person mad, that the moon could turn you into a lunatic, which comes from the Latin word luna, which means moon. So you can see the relationship there. The nights out in the desert could also be very cold. But whether it was the heat of the day or the terrors of the night, the Lord promised to shelter his people from every conceivable form of danger. He protects against the known and the unknown, the seen and the unseen, the real and the perceived, the most overpowering and the most insidious. Day and night and everything in between, God is a shelter right by your side, 24/7, 365 days a year, round-the-clock protection. His protection is complete, comprehensive, it's total. And that's not all. His protection goes even further still. Look at verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The journey of life, it exposes us to all kinds of evils and harm. But none are beyond God's sheltering care. As one commentator puts it, to be kept from all harm does not imply a cushioned life, but a well-armed one. Think of Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The pilgrim in Psalm 121, he expects the dark valley, but with God as his personal escort, he knows he can face it. Notice how the verb tense changes from the present to the future here. The pilgrim is looking. He is looking to his future, not with fear, but with confidence. No matter what evil he might face, he knows that his life is safe in God's hands. Even in death, he knows God's protection is guaranteed. Think of what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 21. Luke 21, he warns his disciples that persecution and harm are coming their way. He says this, verse 16, "You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives." Some of you will be put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. Hold up. Explain that for me, right? How does that work? How do you gain your life when you're being killed? What is Jesus talking about? What is the psalmist talking about? How does the Lord protect our lives, even in death? We'll get our answer in verse 8. Psalm 121, verse 8. Look at that verse. "The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever." So God's protection plan, get this, it doesn't just last the span of your life on earth. It goes on forever. Not just from now to the end of time, but beyond, into a time without end, into eternity, forever. Once God becomes your protector, he is always your protector. Eternal protection, eternal life. That's what you get when God is your protector. That's what it means for the Lord to protect your coming and your going now and forever. That is the kind of comprehensive protection plan God provides. And we know that the Father will provide this kind of protection for his people because he provided this kind of protection for his Son. In Jesus's journey through life, Jesus knew what it meant to be kept by the Father. He lived out and experienced the promises of Psalm 121 every single step of the way. Jesus called himself the good shepherd who lays down his life to protect the sheep. To keep his sheep safe, Jesus was willing to die for us. He was willing to put himself in harm's way. He was willing to walk this same road of suffering on his way to Jerusalem, obeying his Father every step of the way, all the way to the cross, entrusting himself fully to his Father's ever-keeping protection as he suffered and died for you and me. And you know what happened on the other side of that? Help came from the Lord. Even in death, the Father protected and preserved his Son's life. He delivered on what he promised. Because a dead shepherd is no good to us. A dead shepherd can't protect us. But remember, our shepherd does not slumber or sleep. Not in life, not in death. Our shepherd lays down his life in order to take it back up again. Our shepherd has the power to lay down his life and the power to raise it back up. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, walked out of his grave in order to keep his sheep safe. And not only did Jesus rise from the dead to secure eternal life for us, he also promised to be with us every step of the way. Matthew 28, verse 20. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In him, united to Christ by faith, we are kept forever by our heavenly Father. His presence is with us, helping us by protecting us every step of the way home. And nothing can ever stop or break through his protection. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If Christ is your ever-keeping protection, then God's got you. He has got you. He's got you now. He's got you forever. Nothing can finally harm you, not even death itself. Brothers and sisters, you are untouchable. Friend, if you are here and you are not a Christian, I want you to know how glad I am that you are here today. Thank you. Thank you for showing up to church this morning. This psalm is God's gracious invitation to you. This psalm is inviting you to have Christ as your shepherd and shield. Those on this road, those who are walking this road with Christ as their eternal protection, they are headed for a life of beauty and blessing that has no end. Will you join the journey? This psalm is inviting you this morning, today, to join the journey. Do not walk this road. Do not try to face these dark valleys without Christ as your shepherd. Do not put yourself in that kind of eternal danger. Turn from your sin. Put your faith in Christ. Follow him. Follow him home. Faith Church, the road home to heaven, it's not an easy one. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. It's been a privilege to share this leg of the journey with you. And I want you to know one last time as your pastor, the Lord is going to get us home. He's going to get us home. He's got you. As hard as the journey might be, it is worth it. One day you will be glad that you made it. One day, if you endure, your feet will cross that river and you and I will be home finally and forever. Heaven is on the horizon. The new heavens and the new earth are just over the mountain. Revelation 21, 1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In that happy land, the Lamb who is seated on the throne will shelter us with his presence. We will hunger and thirst no more. The sun will not strike us, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne, he will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of living water. Faith Church, until that day comes, steady on. Remember where your help comes from. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. God has got you every step of the way home. And I'll see you when we get there. We meet to part and part to meet when earthly labors are complete.